NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Protesters in Bahrain are vowing to continue to press for political reform despite a violent crackdown on demonstrators camped in the capital today. Four protesters were killed. NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Manama and tells us the government is defending its actions.
The government on state TV has been saying that these were not unarmed protesters, that in fact they had swords and other weapons, and that they had been warned by a bullhorn to leave the Pearl Square, the central square where they'd been camped out before the 3 a.m. raid. The demonstrators I spoke to said they heard no warning and they were certainly unarmed. But that is the official position, and the defense ministry said it acted because it had to restore order and security. And the Interior Ministry said the protests were illegal and that all avenues for negotiation had been exhausted.
NPR's Peter Kenyon in Manama. The Obama administration is calling on authorities there to exercise restraint. In Egypt, some top officials and businessmen are under arrest. From Cairo, NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro reports they're among those suspected of brutality and corruption during Mubarak's rule.
Egyptian authorities have arrested the former Interior Minister Habib al-Adli, a much-hated figure who oversaw the police crackdown on pro-democracy demonstrators in the early days of the uprising here. He was arrested along with the former ministers of tourism and housing. Another particularly hated figure is steel tycoon Ahmed Ez, and he's also being detained. He's one of the country's wealthiest businessmen and a close friend of Gamal Mubarak's, Hosni Mubarak's son.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro in Cairo. The governor of Wisconsin's proposal to fix the state's budget problems is running into increasingly stiff opposition. State Democratic senators boycotted a scheduled vote today, and as Wisconsin Public Radio's Kristen Durst reports, thousands gathered at the Capitol to protest the proposal.
For the fourth straight day, protesters have swarmed the Capitol to let Wisconsin's Governor Scott Walker know what they think of his bill that would essentially strip collective bargaining rights from local, county, and state workers. The Capitol Rotunda was packed as it was announced that they didn't have enough lawmakers present to vote on the budget fix bill.
The Senate is now under a call of the House, and we will try to find the members who decided not to show up for work today.
It was later learned that 14 Democratic senators left the state in a defiant act, a show of solidarity with workers and an effort to slow down the Republican-supported bill. The state's new Republican governor is calling for the lawmakers to return to the state to vote. For NPR News, I'm Kristen Durst in Madison.
Wall Street saw gains today. The Dow picked up 29 points to close at 12,318. The Nasdaq was up 6. This is NPR. The U.S. economy is growing, though it's still far from robust. The Conference Board reports its gauge of leading economic indicators inched up 0.1% in January. Bank of America Merrill Lynch economist Michael Hansen says housing is keeping things slow.
The housing market, I think, is going to take several years before we really fundamentally see that turnaround. And that's, in the near term, going to weigh a little bit on growth.
Meanwhile, the Labor Department says consumer prices rose 0.4% last month. Food and energy prices accounted for most of the increase. A former cargo handler at New York's JFK Airport is heading to prison. He'll serve a life sentence for a failed plot to blow up the terminal there. NPR's Robert Smith reports the man wanted the destruction to rival 9/11.
Russell DeFreitas felt mistreated as an employee at JFK Airport. He also resented American foreign policy. And so prosecutors say the Guyanese immigrant came up with a plan to blow up the fuel tanks at Kennedy. The fireball was to engulf the entire airport, and hence the codename Shining Light. The plot was nowhere near operational, but DeFreitas was still found guilty last fall. His lawyers pleaded to the judge to be lenient. The plot, they said, was mostly just talk. But the judge went for the maximum sentence, life in prison, telling the courtroom this was his plan. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.
Pakistan has until next month to decide whether an American who shot and killed two Pakistanis has diplomatic immunity. A Pakistani court today delayed a hearing on the matter, which has increased tensions between Islamabad and Washington. The Obama administration is urging Pakistan to free Raymond Davis, a U.S. embassy employee, and avoid setting a precedent for trying U.S. officials abroad. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.